Good morning.
Good
morning. Hallelujah. What a nice crowd today to hear the word. Let me just share a few things with you, and then we'll turn in the word of God. By the way, Sharon and Tim Searcy called me and said to greet you. They can't be here today, but they certainly wanted to be. I want to thank Pastor Wes. You know, when I was praying about staying or leaving here, one of the things that really worried me, and it's even worrying me now, at my age, where I am, is if I leave and the wrong person comes in, within 6 months, the wrong person can tear a church right in two. Seriously. I'm serious. I've seen it over and over. As a presbyter, I saw it over and over and over again. And I was so glad to hear that Brother Wes Johnson, even though he was a young man, he's still young, became your pastor, and he's doing a great job, him and his wife and family. And we just really appreciate what they're doing for the Lord. Amen. Let me just share a few things concerning my family. I don't know if you heard or not, but Paul, my youngest son, has prostate cancer. And, you know, I battled that myself about 15, 16 years ago, 20 years ago now. 1995, 22 years. Okay, thank you, Bunny. Isn't it good to have a wife that keeps you straight? Hallelujah. But anyway, 22 years ago, I had the same thing. And so pray for Paul. He's right now going through a process of how to treat his condition. There's a thing called proton. I don't know much about it. Proton, what's the word for it? For proton therapy. And so he's kind of talking with the University of Florida. He lives in Florida and trying to get the right thing. And I want to say something this morning. I'm so pleased. I look back in the audience, and there's a couple back there that came all the way from our hometown. Now, if they weren't here right now, they'd be in church in Springfield, West Virginia. John and Darling, would you stand up just for a second? He said, I want to hear you preach in a different setting. So I'm going to have to tame down this and preach in a different setting. It's so good to see Horace Cooper here today. He's been up our way several times, spoken in our church. He's an excellent speaker, and I thank God for him. All right, let me see what we have here. Okay, just a minute. I understand your theme here is your legacy and entering in. If we're going to enter in, we have to know where we are in Christ. That's very, very important. So this morning, I'm going to be preaching on who we are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord laid that message on my heart, and I've been thinking about it for several weeks now. Now, I can't find any other notes I spoke to. Oh, I want to share some kind of funny things for just a minute. We used to have a brother here named Brother Shrum. He was the janitor or the custodian. Julian, remember him? He was here over 40 years. And when I arrived here at this church's pastor back in 1979, Brother Shrum came in my office one day, and he said, I'm going to support you. You're my pastor, but listen to me. Brother James is really my pastor. Now, Brother James died in 1949. Oh, my. Another very funny thing. Do you still have a blessing room here? Okay. We used to keep some pants and shirts and things in the blessing room for emergencies. And one day, I came back from the hospital and I had a suit on and I didn't feel comfortable that day. I was going to kind of dress down a little bit. So I went into the blessing room and found me a pair of pants. You ever heard of floods?
Yeah.
Those pants were way up here. And anyway, I didn't know it, but Flora Penkoff was over here giving some students a recital or leading them in a recital. Now, you have to know Flora Penkoff. I don't know if she still comes to church here or not. But anyway,
she does.
Flora just passed away. That's correct. I remember now. Well, anyway, I put those floods on. I didn't know anybody was up here. And I walked into the sanctuary, and there I am. Now, you have to know Flora Penkoff. She was proper, and everything was perfect. And she said, "This is my pastor. I want you to be." Oh, we had some funny things happen, but enjoyable things. Amen? Amen. I think the greatest thing that happened to me while I was here was a message God gave me called "Let God Arise." How many remember that? That was here? I'm telling you, I did a series on praise and worship that at that time just turned this church around. And I'm glad to see the praise and worship here this morning because you're keeping the same legacy on. And that's very, very important. But we had a tremendous move of God back in, what was that year? 1981. And it was just marvelous what God did. Karen Wheaton was here. You've heard of her, I'm sure. She came in and ministered, and God used her in a mighty way. And we went from the hymn book to the chorus book. Now, we still sing hymns in our church, but we stirred up a hornet's nest. I mean, we stirred up a hornet. Some of the old timers, "I don't like that kind of music." You mean you don't like us praising God and magnifying the Lord? "I like those old anthems and hymns." Well, going down the street to the Methodist church, they'll appease you. Amen. All right, that's all I'm going to say. I just lost my audience. All right, do you have your Bibles this morning? Amen. And by the way, we appreciate Gerald Mahan. He keeps in touch with Bunny and I and prays for us every week. And it's just I'm so appreciative of that. And may God bless you. We're going to talk this morning on realizing who we are in Christ. One of the most difficult things today is to know who they really are. You ever heard anybody say, "I'm just kind of looking, trying to find out who I am"? I had a professor at University of West Virginia tell me that one time when I was ministering. She said, "I'm just trying to find myself." And she left her husband. And I don't know what happened after that because I moved on. But anyway, realizing who we are in Christ. And this is certainly part of our legacy. It begins with knowing who we are in Christ. We must come to the realization. Now, realization simply is understanding the true nature of something, okay? And the only way we can understand the true nature of something is that the Holy Spirit points out in the Word of God the truth, and then we can embrace it, we can grab hold of it. So this morning, we need to understand that there are certain robbers. And by the way, it's so good to see Julian on your staff here. God bless his heart. We've been friends for 50 years, haven't we? 40 years? Long time. But anyway, to make a long story short, there are four things that inhibit us or hinder us from realizing our potential, realizing who we are in Christ. These robbers are called tradition. Come on now. Called tradition, legalism, insecurity, and negativism. Now, once the Holy Spirit quickens us, the only thing that can turn us around from those four robbers is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we are so set in our ways. I just had a lady. Now, let me tell you about this. Just last week, a church in our community, they have 8 people. I won't tell you what denomination. I've already heard all the Methodists, so I better be good. And they had on their church sign this past week, "Please join us for our 60th anniversary." I thought to myself, 7 people? 7 people? And they're going to rejoice? If I had been in a church that long or had a church that long and only had 7 people, I wouldn't even tell anybody. I'd keep it quiet. Amen. I wouldn't even share that I was celebrating my anniversary. But I looked at that and I thought, "Dear Lord, help us." But some people are so locked into tradition and legalism and insecurity. By the way, one of the things that the Lord has shown me over the years has been to be open to change. And I'm excited the changes you all had here, the remodeling the building and some of the things you've done. It's beautiful to see change and people to accept change when it's necessary. Amen? You believe that? Now, there are four things I want to talk about called the four C's. The four C's, okay? The four C's, four words that we're going to talk about this morning. Condemnation lifting, children of God, the Comforter intercedes, and we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Those four words, we need to take a look at these words and concepts in a positive way. Now, in Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 3, we see a picture of sin. We see a picture of degradation. We see a picture of depravity. The first three chapters of Romans shows us our plight without Christ. Chapter 4 reveals the imputed righteousness of Christ, which means the righteousness that's attached to our name, that is imputed to us, that's transferred to us from Jesus. Then number 5, or Romans 5, we see that we're justified by faith. Those that were part of chapters 1 through 3, chapter 4, God's righteousness was imputed to us and we're justified. And number 5, obviously, chapter 5, we're justified by faith. Romans 6 is the sanctification process. Chapter 7, we struggle with the flesh. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about the fact that condemnation has been lifted. How many of you know that? Condemnation has been lifted. Amen. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Isn't it wonderful today to be in Christ? To know Him as our Lord and Savior. To know Him as our King. To know Him as our Master, our Lord. It is so powerful. Now, Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. What in the world does the word condemnation mean? It comes from a compound Greek word, katakrima, which means judgment against. There's no longer any more judgment against us if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, our sentence of death, our sentence of hell, so to speak, is gone. We are free by the grace of God. We have been delivered supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we stand here today or sit here today knowing there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. We have been delivered from condemnation. So here we stand or sit as free people delivered katakrima. There's no judgment against us anymore because we've been justified by the grace of God. Amen. Romans 1:18 says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Outside of Christ, we are targets of divine judgment. That's what that means. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Mark Twain wrote about a slave that went to bed one night. He was camping. He was on the river. He went to bed in Missouri. Now, Missouri was a slave state when he went to bed. Somehow, during the night, the water just washed away the connection with Missouri, and he woke up in Illinois. He went to bed as a slave and woke up a free man because he was in Illinois. You know what? We're free today. We've been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus, the Son of the living God, has delivered us, has set us free. And we can rejoice here today because of that. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now notice these three things we must note before we move on. The word says there is therefore now. In other words, there's not even a hint of judgment against us when we're in Christ. When we're in Christ. There are so many people walking around insecure, not knowing who they are in Christ, not knowing what the future holds. I want to tell you something this morning. You know, we believers do not have a past. So we don't have to worry about that. We've been delivered. We've been set free. And the devil has no future. We don't have a past. I was pretty ornery when I was growing up. Ask my mother. She's 94 years old. Will be 95 in September. Still comes to church. Still amens her son. Thank you. Glory to God. Now there is no more condemnation. No condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ. Did you know 132 times in the New Testament? In the New Testament, 132 times is the phrase, in Him, in Christ, in the Lord. That is so important that we get a revelation of that, a knowledge of that, of who we are today. And we don't leave here confused on who we are. But if we're in Jesus and the blood has washed us clean and whole and restored us to Him, hallelujah, we can rejoice. The fifth chapter of Romans tells us that we are justified, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we stand, and that Greek word there means we, like a wild turkey this time of year, you know, it's kind of fluffs out, or an ostrich. Here we go. Well, I appreciate my buddy here, because he likes to turkey hunt too. You know what happened to me yesterday about my wife? We were coming here on 66, and near Route 234, a wild turkey, I couldn't believe it, right there in Manassas, flew across the road in front of us. That's the devil trying to get me to go back home. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we've been justified by God and we're children today of God? Aren't you glad? Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. Verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We are children of God with all the marvelous privileges as a child of God. You know, when we get a hold of who we are, then we can grab a hold of our legacy. We can build our legacy. We can do wonders by trusting the Lord. Now notice this. There are five things in particular as children of God we need to look at here today very quickly. Number one, we are not slaves to religion. How many of you knew that? We are not slaves to religion. Verse 15 says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You know, some people are more under bondage now than before they got saved. They figure if they got saved, then all of a sudden they've got to fast for 40 days. Hello. They've got to do all these things, all these works to make them better. You know what makes you better? The blood of Christ. Nothing but faith in His shed blood will make you better. I don't care how many days you fast, how many hours you pray. It is only faith in Jesus, the Son of the living God. When you understand that, it's powerful and it'll change your life. So notice this. Not only does it not make us slaves to religion, we have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption literally means we've been placed under God as sons and daughters with all the rights and privileges of being a child of God. You know, when I go to visit my mother, she doesn't have to tell me it's okay to go get in the refrigerator. I know if she's got a ham in the refrigerator or something, I can just go in there and carve a piece off and not even ask her for it. Because I know I'm her son and I have access to her refrigerator. I have access to her table. We don't have to beg. We are already in Christ. We know Him and we have access to His grace. We have access to His anointing. We have access to His love. Hallelujah. We have access. We're not bound to religion. There's also an effective, affectionate relationship. Look at verse 15. By Him we cry, Abba, Father. Now the word Abba is an Aramaic word that means daddy, daddy. It means when we get saved, Christ comes in our life, He takes us by the hand and he leaves us alone. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the Greek word, there's pater, and the English word, Hebrew word is Abba, which means what? Anybody know? It means we're children. We belong to him. He's our daddy. He's our daddy. Oh, I'm telling you, folks don't know, all of you, what I've been through and my wife's been through the last several years. In 1998, I was pastoring here. And I fell out of a tree stand deer hunting. 25 to 30 feet. The doctors gave my wife no hope whatsoever. Your pastor here came over to Baltimore to visit with me. I really appreciate that. I had preachers from everywhere come and visit with me. And some African-American lady was on the airplane with one of my sons, and he told her about my situation. She looked at my son and said, "Do you care if I go by the hospital?" She was from Baltimore. "And pray for your dad?" He said, "Sure. That'd be wonderful." She came and brought some of her friends. They circled my bed, anointed the covers, anointed the pillow, anointed everything around the room, and said, "In the name of Jesus, raise this preacher up." All of a sudden, I sensed something surging through my body like the power of the Holy Spirit. God touched me, and I was miraculously delivered. Just a few days later, my mother came by, and she said, my wife and mother said, "Son, you're out of the woods now." I didn't know I was in the woods. I didn't know it was that bad. Julian remembers that, and Laura, they remember when that took place. And this church was so kind to me. From November, the first week of deer season, which is like Thanksgiving week, until March the 26th, I didn't walk a step. I had to relearn to walk. I came into this church on a stretcher and preached one Sunday morning on a stretcher. That's the truth. I did. And then God performed a miracle. I went from a stretcher to a walker to a cane. And then finally, I threw it away, and here I am today. Let me tell you about this. 2.5 years ago, you see, we never learn. We're so hard-headed. 2.5 years ago, I was walking my little dog, Tippy, and my feet went out from underneath of me, and I hit the ground on a cake of ice, hit my head, knocked myself silly. My wife said, "Well, you're always silly." Knocked me a little silly, and I wasn't given any hope then either to survive. But God raised me up. He raised me up, and I've been preaching 3 times every Sunday since then. And somebody said, "Why don't you retire? What's that?" When the Lord opens the right door and brings the right pastor in to follow me, I'll step aside. Not until. I'm not going to turn the flock over to just anybody. Amen? Amen. I'm sure your pastor feels the same way. He'll be here probably till he dies. Now don't think about shooting him now, please. But anyway, 2001, was it, or 2000, what year was it I fell on the ice? Oh, 2014, my Lord. Yeah, and so God raised me up, and I did the same thing at this church that I did here. I got up Sunday morning with a walker the first time I preached after 6 months. Or 3 months, whatever it was. I got in a walker, and it helped me up the steps. I couldn't even walk up the platform. And I stood behind the walker and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I made a vow to God, as long as there's breath in this body, I'm going to declare his word. I'm going to declare the word of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm going to share his word. Amen. You can ask Gerald Mahan, who's here, what kind of growth we've had. We've had tremendous growth in our church, just like you have. We've had tremendous growth. And I just thank God for it. All right, let's move on a little bit here. We're going to run out of time here. The pastor didn't give me any particular time to quit, so. What I usually do is put a lozenger in my mouth, and when it melts, I know it's time to quit. But the other Sunday, I reached in my pocket for a lozenger and didn't realize that 2 hours later, I had a button in my mouth. Think about that, horse. So God does not forget us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised an inheritance here in chapter 8. Now, if you're children, then heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I'm going to move on a little bit faster now, okay? In chapter 1, verse 13, it talks about our inheritance. Inheritance is guaranteed by sealing and depositing of the Holy Spirit. And God will not forget us. You know, one of the things that bothers some of us when we get older is when we die, we'll be forgotten about. Will we ever be mentioned, our name ever be mentioned again? Remember John Dewey, if you went to college and you studied education? He was one of the most well-known educators, very liberal, in the history of this country. And one day he was walking across a college campus, I think it was Harvard or Princeton, and a little boy walked up to him and said, "Sir, could you give me a nickel? I'd like to have a nickel to buy a Coke." Back in those days, you could buy a Coke with a nickel. And he said, "Okay." He reached in his pocket, gave the kid 5 cents. And then after the kid, he looked at his friend and he said, "Isn't it the way kids are today? They're just terrible. They're always wanting something." And the guy looked at John Dewey and said, "That was your son, wasn't it?" That was your son. The Father will never forget us. He will never, never forget us. Now, let me hurry on through this, right? So we'll finish here in a few minutes. Number 3, the Comforter intercedes for the justified. Look at verse 26. "For in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that and words that cannot be expressed." Now, the word here for weakness or infirmity is encompassing everything that happens to us negative, okay? And notice what he says. There are certain factors we need to understand. There are times when we don't know how to pray. How many's ever been there? You just really don't, you didn't know how to pray. You just got overwhelmed with problems. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Now, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit prays through us with groans that cannot be expressed. Kittel, the great scholar, the German scholar, says that word is glossolalia, which means to express a language in the Spirit. But whatever it is, He tells us in the Word that we can pray, or the Spirit will pray through us. Verse 27, the Spirit intercedes for us, the saints, in accordance with God's will. We often do not know the will of God. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit does. The Spirit knows exactly how to pray. Now, number 4, quickly, the justified are conquerors in Christ. Look at verse 37. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How are we more than conquerors? For we know at least 7 reasons. Okay, and we'll wrap up and we'll share this with you quickly. Then we're going to wrap it up. Number 1, all things, verse 28, are working together for good to them that love the Lord. Good job this morning. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what difficulty you're having. Everything works out for good. When I left this church, I thought, "Dear God, where am I going to go from Alexandria?" I went from a nice salary here, they really treated me nice, the next year to 14,000 for the whole year. The Sunday after I left here, I preached in some little church in the mountains that they couldn't even find the mic. The pastor said, who's got the microphone? And some guy yelled back there in the middle of the church and said, I've got it. It's back here on the pew. It was unbelievable. I went into immediate depression. What have I done? Why in the world did I give up that great church to come up here in this mountain to 7 or 8 people? I didn't understand at the time. Sometimes God's through with you. You have to move on whether you understand it or not. Amen? You got to move on. But anyway, we need to understand also that the Comforter will intercede for us. All things, the Bible says, are working together for good. He is conforming us to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:4-13 says God's goal for us, the justified, we're headed for glorification. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Number 4, we conquer because God is on our side. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. We conquer because He is interceding for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us? That's kind of a rhetorical question, but anyway, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or peril or nakedness or the sword or whatever? Nothing, Paul said, nothing will separate us from God, because in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Just remember that. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The realization that agape love is working through us picks us up every single day and charges us with His Spirit. Remember how God made David more than a conqueror? Not only was Goliath defeated, but the entire Philistine army in the name of the Lord. Have we come to the realization that condemnation has been lifted? We are children of God. Number 3, the Comforter intercedes for us. And number 4, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. You see, the future of First Assembly in Alexandria is very bright. God has sent you good leadership. You have a nice facility. You have a lot of good people here to minister. And I used to dream when I was here. And I never really fulfilled the dreams I had. But it's not, God's not finished here yet. He's still going to keep working. He's still going to keep ministering. He's still going to keep blessing. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.